Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
Who are you?
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zata Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And what a weekend it was. Now, don't tell me that you didn't watch any of Scottie Scheffler yesterday. You can't say that. You did.
I did. Told you I usually watch the last couple of
Yeah, Dell, you watched it too. Yes, you did. There's no chance you didn't watch it. Zero chance.
Okay, so the question is, for people who watch it casually, and some people who didn't see Tiger in his prime, there's people of an age that didn't see Tiger in his prime. Where's Scottie Scheffler on a Tiger meter?
On a Tiger meter.
On a Tiger meter, like where?
Here's the biggest difference between he and the field since Tiger. But Tiger had a 10-year run where he was number one in the world, and Tiger lapped the field. Tiger more than lapped the field as far as ranking goes, and Scottie's not there.
Well, there's a lot of, not yet. I mean, no. He can't be. It's impossible.
No, but it'll be impossible to tell anyway because the John Rahms and the Cam Smiths and the Brooks Koepkas all left.
Yeah, but you still can see the, but I don't think it is because he still is playing against himself too. Like, how low can he go? How consistent can he be?
Yeah, but it's different when you've got somebody on, like Tiger still had a, Jack Nicklaus, he had, believe it was 19 second place finishes, which is incredible. Now, Scottie Scheffler, does he have anybody that is pushing him like that?
Well, no, but is there a chance that people went to the live to avoid Scottie Scheffler? That's the real question here.
No, they went to get the money.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But if Scottie Scheffler's 14 under and wins a tournament and everyone else is six, I mean, that's saying something. The same course that you're playing on with other professional golfers, that's saying something. So all he can do is, I don't think it's fair that he can never be considered,
Well, he'll never be – nobody's going to be – I mean
– Well, Liv isn't going to – we're not going to have this structure. This is not going to look like this in 2-3 years.
Yeah, no, we'll see. Yeah, you're probably right. I think that there's something's got to be resolved. Although the Saudis have so much money, they just don't care.
That's all anyone's talking about is, but we've seen American sports – for this hardest stance they take is doing the right thing and become, by golly, golf is ready to just bet. It's getting bad with the money.
Well,
they're ready to partner up.
Well,
and the players we already know have no allegiance.
Well,
to
all
this.
The players in the other sports already have bet. I mean, golf is just trying to catch up. Listen, a regular live event pays $4 million for first place. Scottie Scheffler made 3.6 winning the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even close. And the PGA has been screwing the players for years and years and years, which is why they got away from the lawsuit. They didn't want to open up their books. They didn't want to see the players to see what was really going on. It's not gonna. I don't know that it'll change anytime soon, but it does need to change. I'm with you. It can't go on like this.
No, I don't think anyone wants to not be at the. Those guys, once you have all that money, okay, well, I got all the money, but legacy-wise, people don't know me. People don't see me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to bother them. They want to be seen. They want to be on TV. They want to be playing against Scottie Scheffler as well. So we'll see. But, he was, once he got the lead, there was just a little on Saturday where Morikawa looked like he was going to potentially make that move and be the guy. But
Scottie... Not and when he messed up 9, he double bogeyed 9 and then he double bogeyed 11.
Yesterday was the double bogeys on 9 and 11. Right. It was because that was on Saturday where
Oberg going in the water on 11 was just a killer. And then Max Homa on 12 was just a disaster. So Scottie, and from number 8 to number 16, Scottie had 6 birdies.
Yeah.
While everybody else is throwing up on themselves, he's got 6 birdies, 1 bogey, 2 pars. It was just a clinic.
And maintained
on how to play.
His aggression, by the way.
It what?
He was still maintaining his aggression. He was smart on 11, but, the last four holes, he's still going after pins, yeah, relatively speaking.
Yeah, no. He's...
Yeah, it was impressive. I just wondered, you know, his level of golf. So that's a good answer. He's the separation between him and everyone else is the biggest since Tiger.
Since Tiger.
Yep. That makes some sense. How old is Scottie Scheffler now?
25.
Jeez.
Yeah, he's going to be around for a long
time.
Holy
crap, man.
He's like the first guy to win and five starts at Augusta since Horton Smith. I mean, he's got all kinds of stuff that he's starting to, you know, put together right now. And, you know, if he had to leave because of his wife with the pregnancy, that would have been a huge story, huge story. And then we would have actually had a tournament where, I mean, look at everybody else. They just came in and Oberg finished at 7, but Max Homa at 4.
He would have finished. At some point, he would have finished. Like, there's a point of no return. Because I saw, so the odds on him at about hole number 13 were minus 4,000. Yeah. At hole number 14. Once you got to a certain point, the wife can do whatever she needs to do, but I'm winning this Masters.
Yeah.
I'm not leaving anytime soon.
Not in the middle of the round.
Yeah.
Not in the middle of the round. He wasn't going anywhere. And she held it off. She was, it was good. You know what? She
you can
was
slow able, it down.
Yeah.
They can do medicine. They can do drips to slow it down.
Well, and you know, whatever the case. I mean, plus she wanted that 3.6. I can't blame her.
I mean, I'd slow it down too.
No, would your wife hold off having a kid?
Listen, I've never had a
3.6?
kid. I've never had a kid, but I've held it before. On a road trip, yeah, where you're like, man,
I don't know if I'm
gonna be able to... must be like having a baby. I'm just sitting here having contractions.
No,
it's... only different types of contractions.
Right. No, I think it's the same. It's about
but it's
the same
similar.
Thing.
Yeah. I mean, I know how it feels now.
Yeah.
I noticed me and Scottie Scheffler actually have, I'm not going to say a similar swing, but we do something similar. His back foot comes out sometime. I'm like, hey,
yeah,
me and Scottie both do that.
Yeah. That's the, that I, when I saw your swing and I saw Scottie's swing, I said, man, the feet thing. Lance does some of that stuff.
It was one of the things that people may notice.
Right. I'm not sure about the rest of it, but yeah. No.
So we had a Masters. We have a dominant run continues. We'll see how long it can last. It's good for golf if you have one guy who can dominate, I think.
We have a dominant run in baseball.
Two-game win streak.
Two in a row.
Dominant run, including Ronel Blanco, who, you know, gave up the early two. It wasn't five. It wasn't seven. It wasn't eight. And I thought after three innings, you had only given up two runs. And I thought, this is a huge win. The Astros have a starter who didn't get hit for 5, 7, or 8 runs in the first three innings. This is a big win. But then Ronel shut it down after that. The Astros got their offense going, and boy, the offense cranked up against the Rangers, didn't it?
It really did.
Kyle Tucker's feeling it right now, and it was fun to see the Astros offense get off. There's still things like,
well, it's
helped. You know, seeing Seth Martinez.
He had bucketed yesterday.
I know he had to
be pulled, but that's a 6-run game that you're really not even thinking about. I mean, you're just trying to get through that one inning. You're gonna have to live with Seth Martinez. He's gonna be out there. There's no question about that. It's Altuve. You know, Mookie Betts is off to an historic start right now, but it ain't. I'm in the American League. There's nobody better than Altuve. Mm-hmm. Altuve's 1,200 OPS, right at 1,200. I mean, Yordan is off to an incredible start. He's looking up at Altuve.
Well, and Altuve right now is hitting, not only is he hitting great now, I mean, everything is, he's early. He's, if you make a mistake early in the count, and we know this is his MO, but when he, well, you know, it's funny, whether he's in a slump or whether he's red hot, he's still looking early. He wants his pitch early. Like, it never changes.
No, he's incredible. I mean, we just don't give him enough credit. I mean, we just expect it out of him. You know, we expect the slow start out of Bregman. We expect Yordan to crush. We expect Kyle Tucker, you know, to do his thing. But it just is, we just don't give enough love to Jose Altuve.
I just like, okay, it's a given. Altuve's doing good. But what about Tucker?
Right.
Well, he's really coming around. What about Altuve? Yeah, but that's Altuve.
Yeah,
he's
right.
The greatest Astro of all time. He always is.
Right, right. And
I was never worried about him.
And Kyle Tucker isn't even close to what Altuve is. It's just, he's just incredible. And it's so fun to watch. It was nice to see Christian Javier at least go 7 innings this time. Mm-hmm. Because he'll get up into the pitch count in the 5th inning.
Great.
And he had 5 strikes. He's not the dominant Christian Javier that we expected after the playoffs in 22.
He's not the strikeout per 9 guy that we used to see.
No.
And I don't know what it is, but you know,
his velocity is not the same.
No, and
he was humping it up at 81, 80, 91, 92, 93 he'd hit, but he was hitting 95 in 22.
You know, Fromber has a bigger fastball than Javier. And Fromber can hit 95, 96. He can work at 95.
And that sinker is just ridiculous. So it's ridiculous. He comes in there at 92 with that sinker, 90, 93 even with that sinker, and it's just so hard to hit. I don't know. Javier's ball, you know, rises, stays up in the zone. We'll see. Good news on Justin Verlander this weekend. He had another outing where he gave up a bunch of runs. But he
was giving up. But he was also working on stuff.
Well, no. His defense sucked. He gave up four unearned runs.
Oh, it was four unearned?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he had given up. He gave up quite a few hits, too.
Yeah,
no.
They said he looked great.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he just kept looking behind him going, hey, guys, can you catch a ball? It was like three errors in the inning. And he was like, what the bleep, you guys? You suck. Now, there's a reason you're a double A and you'll never be up, okay? You suck. So, no, by all accounts, Justin Verlander looked awesome, and so that's good news. Fromber said he's pain-free this weekend, and he looks to be – he's actually going to actually throw a baseball, which means he's about 7 months away.
No, he'll be back.
Oh, really?
If his arm doesn't
feel
bad.
He's about to throw a ball for the first time.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about him. I think that's – if they said there's no forearm, no whatever tightness, who's to say it wasn't just...
But he hasn't picked up a ball.
But why would you want him to if he has any inflammation?
No, well, he has, but
I wouldn't want him
but
to.
But he said he's pain-free, which is a good sign.
Yeah.
It's a really good sign.
I think he'll be back sooner than
you
think.
Yeah. And then the Rockets win.
41-41. Great milestone.
It's a great. That was a great turnaround season. The best turnaround season in the NBA this year.
Do you know that my son Alec, I got to double-check this, or maybe it's Mason.
I don't know why Chet Holmgren reminds me of your son. Of Mason.
Yeah. Mason's thicker than Chet Holmgren.
I don't know. Not much.
Chet is really bone thin. Yeah. Alec is way skinnier than Mason, but Alec had this. I said, have you double checked that? He said that since Hakeem Olajuwon was drafted in 1984, the Rockets have had six losing seasons. Obviously, 41-41 is not a losing season.
Right.
Does that seem possible in 40 years? Six.
Yeah, you can.
Seasons?
That's easily looked up. I mean,
I'm gonna look it up. But do you? Wouldn't that be incredible if that's the number?
If Alec is your source, I'm gonna.
He
run
saw
with
it on. He saw it on.
I'm gonna run with it.
He saw it on Instagram somewhere.
If Alec is your source, I mean, did you have multiple sources? Did Snacks?
No, but people retweet. Yeah, because people retweeted or
that doesn't mean
liked
it.
They liked whatever the Instagram post was. Hmm. Do you think that is an accurate?
I could see that. I mean, we've had some.
Isn't that crazy though? Six losing seasons in 40 years? That seems impossible.
Huh.
We've seen some not great Rocket teams. It felt like maybe they've been much much better than we realize, and we don't.
They
think
win
about
more
it.
During the Steven Coutinho and Kelvin Cato and Mucci years than I think.
Well, yeah, that's the question. It's funny though. The history's being rewritten on that. Kevin Garnett on his podcast, like. Man, Steven Coutinho, when they were on, forget it, man. That was incredible. Yeah, he's talking about Steven Coutinho like, man, Steve had, and they show the best, like when Steve Francis has moves, like he had some moves that are really pretty staggering. They're really incredible. And Coutinho was a good basketball player. I just think he got stuck on a kind of a team that really had no direction. But Kevin Garnett, like, oh, my God. He was remembering fondly the great Steven Coutinho Rockets. Boy, when they got off, you couldn't stop those Rockets. Like, what? What is he talking about?
Wow, I'm misremembering that.
Yeah.
I mean, I missed a lot of them because they were so boring. I missed a lot of them. That was the worst. That was, to me, the darkest times for the Rockets. I don't know. I don't know about this whole you couldn't stop Steven Coutinho thing. All right, 713-780-3776.
Wow, John, you know what? The Rockets' last losing season, well, okay, we had three in a row. But before 2020-2021 season when they were 17-15, the last losing season before then, there was a 41-41 Rocket team in 15-16. I remember that.
Yep.
The last losing season before then, You have to go all the way back to 2005, 2006, one of the Yao Ming injury seasons. You have to go back there. And then before that, you got to go to 2001, 2002, Steven Catino.
Yep.
That was that one. And no, yeah, right before Yao. And then there was one other one in 1990, 2000, 34, and 38. So I guess when Dream was there, they really didn't have losing seasons. There were some 41 and 41s, but, man, when Hakeem Olajuwon was a Rocket, there were some 41 and 41s, but my son was right. 83, 84, the year he was drafted, the Rockets are 29 and 53. And since that point, there has been only six losing seasons.
Nice. Hey, you want to be a winner? You want to see winners? How about getting out to Carlton Woods, the Nicholas course on, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're going to be out there on Wednesday for a practice round. And I'm excited to go out there. We had Brittany Lincecum on last week, and it's just, they're so good. The competition is at the top. If you really enjoyed watching the Masters, I mean, the ladies can play too now. I'm telling you, they hit it wonderfully. And when you, listen, oh yeah, they can play, right, John? Listen, when they come in 12 under, over a 3-4 day span, or 14 under, or whatever, guess what? They can play. They can just flat out play. They hit it long. They can. Their irons are fabulous, and they can putt as well. Those people can play now. So let's go see them. Get to thechevronchampionship.com. Thechevronchampionship.com. I was out there last year 3 days. And really, really enjoyed it. Bring your daughters out there so they can see competition at the highest level. Guys, you can bring your sons out there too because, listen, they're good. They are really, really good. All you need to do is get to thechevronchampionship.com.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. 713-780-3776. You guys got any thoughts on the big weekend? There's more. There's all kinds of stuff to talk. We're closing in on the NFL draft, too. We're just a couple of weeks away. Where are you going? Are you going to be in L.A.?
Yep. Fly out there on Sunday and come back on Sunday. So, yeah, I'll be staying
5 in the morning till 8 in the morning.
And
doing a radio show. It's going to be awesome.
We don't know about that right now.
Yeah, no, we do. We know about that.
Let's talk about
draft week, where you know you're a preeminent draft analyst, and you decide,
how many draft calls do we get for the Texans now? None. You know why? They don't have a first rounder, so people basically think the draft doesn't exist if you don't have a first round pick.
No, people just still think the draft exists. And as a matter of fact, they have a lot of draft capital. So we're gonna be fine. We're gonna talk Texans. Yeah, yeah.
There's no one who wants to talk about it.
Yeah,
and I mean the callers seem to say otherwise.
Yeah,
you get at least a couple calls a day. Hey, Lance, got a draft question for you.
Nope, there's a Rockets call. Sorry.
Well,
I don't see a draft call.
Don't worry about it. They'll come.
No one's chomping at the bit.
Don't worry, they'll come. Just be ready to do the show. Okay, no one's looking for you to take time off. Just do the show.
Do the show. Okay, just do Friday, your job.
There's no reason for me to come on Friday. We don't have a first
pick. You can preview what the Texans might go after, yeah, considering right. The board.
Shut up with your preview. No one wants to preview anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, look, maybe a guy fell farther than you think, and maybe the Texans may have an opportunity. That's going to be interesting to people. That's why you're going to be around.
That's not interesting.
Friday morning, Lance Sirleine, Monday through Friday.
It's literally my worst show of the year. I stay up until about 3:30 Central
Time. I've heard some of your shows.
And it's the worst. It's literally the worst day of the whole year for me. I do TV all day, then have to do a second, third round mock.
Just do
it
your job.
It takes forever. When I get to the third round and it just keeps going compensatory pick after compensatory pick.
Well, no one ever looks at those.
I have to have it done that night.
I know, but no one ever looks at them. Just put any name in.
No, the fans look at it and they're like, this guy's an idiot.
Well,
you would not believe how many hits we get.
They'll do that anyway.
You
wait
don't
a
think
minute.
That I don't, you don't think I just
your
slap
first
people in
round
there?
Pick, you pick, you mock, you still get that.
People look harder than you would believe at the second and third round mock. Lance Sirleine says we're going to do this. What an idiot. Because sometimes I will just start to like, and I'll get an editor in the morning. I'll wake up and get an email that says, hey, you've got this guy getting drafted 3 times. Oh, no. I got to redo everything. That's a nightmare, too. I'm getting excited for the draft. Actually, my last prospect is due today. I'm stopping at about 470. And then I got to get all my round projections for players in. So I want to talk to a team today about where guys are supposed to go. And then I start watching tape again so I can get used to seeing these guys. Because I'll be on NFL Plus giving commentary on every player drafted. So I got to rewatch these guys because I can't even remember. Like, wait, what happens? What's the deal with Bo Nix again?
What's his name?
Hold on now. What is?
Who do you play for?
Who is this? Oh no, I do that all the time. Hey, what do you think about Miles Murphy or whatever? Miles, whatever from Texas Tech. I'm like, I remember he's tall, or he's long, kind of a big guy, right? Yeah, he's aggressive, uses his hands well. I could start lying like that. Uses his hands well, has some good grit at the point of attack. Just made up, just stuff. You could just say it.
Uh-huh. No, you're just making just say. Oh, listen, I really like him.
What's the late narrative going to be? The late narrative developing right now is people saying J.J. McCarthy's not worth trading into the top five. You see it right now. It's on ESPN, and that's more and more I'm starting to see that. It's McCarthy is being over promoted. I think the guy that's going to – I don't know. Either McCarthy or Drake May is going to fall a little bit. We'll see. I don't think – you know, I don't know if there's going to be quarterback. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to go top four like that. It's just, I don't know. It's just, it's hard to project Arizona because Monty Austin-Fort will trade, but at the same time, does he love the wide receivers? Like, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. And I think the one that makes the most sense is Jim Harbaugh trading out. If Monty drafts a wide receiver at four for Arizona, then I can see Jim Harbaugh skipping out of there because he needs an offensive tackle and a wide receiver, and he can go get one later. Maybe apparently there's a little bit of a concern for some teams with Brian Thomas injury wise, so he could slide a little more than people think. It's always interesting to see which teams have a guy off the board and who doesn't. Usually for character, they're kind of the same. If a guy's a bad character guy, he'll like Jermaine Burton out of Alabama. Just God. I said, yeah, but he's. I was talking to a team the other day. I said, we're going over players. Jermaine Burton's wide receiver out of Alabama. And I said, man, is he talented? He's big. He's got talent on tape. He tested great. Like, isn't that going to matter? Because they said, he's kind of a turd. Isn't that going to matter? They said, hold on. Let me read you the report we have on him. Guess he ain't going in the top 3 rounds.
No.
It's just not good.
Boom.
School hates him.
Whoa.
Teammates didn't like him. Just like, it's bad. So he's going to fall. And then I had another one. He's a bad character guy, Burton. And then there's some other ones. And there's some Peyton Wilson, North Carolina State linebacker, just bad injury medicals. And he's not getting drafted in the first, and I doubt he gets drafted in the second. It's just a lot of teams have him off the board for his medicals. He's the one that had this great combine testing, had a lot of tackles and things like that. But you start finding out that when you start seeing guys fall like this, it's usually going to be either injury or character. And for a guy like, you know, if they've been very, very productive during their career, that means they were probably in pretty good terms with the team and never got in a doghouse. That means there's probably an injury there. And that's what's going to happen with Peyton Wilson. So,
all right.
We'll see.
713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here. In about 18 minutes, we got what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Get it ready. So let's go. If you've got a draft question, Lance is here for you. He, even though he hasn't looked at the guys in a while, he'll still be able to handle your questions.
I don't know if I'll be able to talk about draft.
We've got Rockets, Astros, Masters, and more to talk about. Next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, right now we're going to talk about, my boys over at TPC Industrial. That's Houston and Archie, experts in the industry. If you are a PVF hose fitting industry guy, if you need, if you're building or you got pipelines or there's all kinds of stuff that they can help you with. Do you need flanges, forged steel, couplings, valves, pipes, hoses, all of this stuff that I don't know anything about. All of this stuff. TPC Industrial is here for you. I know these guys. I know that they're really, really good at what they do. I've heard Houston. We've been playing golf, and he's on the phone. And yes, sir, we got that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll get that to you. And they get that out, and they're going to get it to you on time at your place where you can't, your other supplier can't get it done. If you're having a problem getting any of this stuff, TPC Industrial is here for you. TPCINDL.com. TPCINDL.com. 346-226-3866. If your PVS supplier can't find the part you need, they will at TPC Industrial, TPCINDL.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. The number. Yeah, did you see Caitlin Clark on Saturday Night Live?
I did. I did see the video. I didn't see it live.
Oh, I didn't see it live either, but I saw the video. So it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You saw it. Yeah. She was really good. Really good.
Yeah, it's
I mean,
I didn't realize Michael Shea had taken so many shots at women's basketball.
Me either.
But do you think, so here's the thought. So here's what, he knew, like, he was in on that.
Yeah.
Right? He had to
absolutely.
Be. He had
well,
to
she
be.
Was sitting
he there. Acted like he wasn't.
No.
Like, but, I mean, because it would have been better if he hadn't been in on it, but he had to have been in on it.
Yeah, he was definitely, absolutely.
So, here's what we mean by
I think the setup is they know that the person is coming. But they're not always sure what's going to be said.
Right. There's that possibility.
Yeah. It's possible. Yeah. It's possible. Now, Caitlin Clark, for those... Now, what? When she's talking, it seems scripted. But she had an apron that she autographed for Michael
Shea. She knew he was doing the apron. I mean, it was all scripted.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all
and scripted. She autographed... Well, people who didn't see it, what did he do? What did she do? She presented him with an apron that she had autographed. You know,
because
apron.
Because he had said...
Like saying that women should make sandwiches or whatever.
Her number was retired by Iowa, which is, they put up an apron, and so she gave him an apron signed. I mean, yeah, the whole thing was, but it was good. It was. Hey, listen, I don't care if she's on the set there. She's must watch TV.
And she shouted out the NBA WNBAers who came before. This is like, guys, just to make sure we're all on the same team.
Oh, and she, it was a lot of UConn. No, it was a lot of the ones that were critical of her.
That's she went.
Diana Taurasi and
like can y'all not just hammer me now?
Yeah, right, please.
Can we be friends at all? Hey, I gotta shout out Lynette Woodard.
Yeah.
Eric 3276 on Twitter. You know, the people who are coming after me.
Erica, not Eric. Yes, she's learning though. It was really, really good though. I was I mean, as soon as I saw that she was on there, I said I was like, oh, I gotta watch this. That's great stuff. So you can find it on it's all over Twitter. Let's get Stafford in here. Let's talk about the Rockets. Hey, Stafford.
What up, y'all? I did want to talk about the Rockets, but really, we could talk about the draft if that's because the draft is coming.
We can do both. It doesn't matter.
Well, my only thing about the Rockets is like the season ended yesterday. How do you rate the Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks signings? Because we didn't make the play-in tournament, which I think the play-in tournament is a disgrace. But that's another topic for another day. But we didn't make it. Can we say that those veterans in the locker room helped our young players? Do we see growth? Because, you know, as a fan, I'm not in the locker room. I don't know these guys' personal life, but y'all may have more insights to that. Is that true? And then as far as the draft, if what you're saying is true, if Drake May is sliding, What about New England? Would New England trade out?
New England is the potential trade outs, but New England's one of the trade out spots, the number three pick. No one really knows what Elliott Wolf is going to do. So the new GM. So yeah, that's one of the spots a lot of people look at. Now, if they have a quarterback that, like, I think if Jaden Daniels fell, they would take Jaden Daniels. But if Jaden Daniels goes second, I'm not sure New England will pick there. I'm not sure that Elliott looks at this as like must have quarterback if he doesn't love the quarterback. This is a longer rebuild for them, so we'll see. But yeah, that's a spot too. I've got to go find Brad Doe's. I want to play this because there is a. Did you happen to see what Dylan Brooks said?
First of all, he said Cam had the killer instinct from the get go. It took Ahmed a little bit longer because he was so quiet. But he got that killer instinct. He said he thought he had that. He said, yeah, he thought he brought toughness to the organization, and you know, it was success. And he loves being a Rocket. I mean,
I'm gonna send you this audio because I think it's really good for what he accessed. Well, exactly what you said was the case, and I want to bring that up because what we're talking about is. Stafford said, assess how that went down. Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks. I think what Dylan Brooks told you, that the Rockets are a tougher team.
Yep.
We've seen it. They've got a chip on their shoulder. And I think that comes from one guy. I mean, I think that comes from, well, that's not true. I think Dylan Brooks and Ime probably both do a lot of it. But think about this, John. You've got, I think Dylan did his job in that regard, and then Fred VanVleet may have done his job in terms of getting some guys to turn the corner responsibility-wise, accountability-wise, maybe see the game differently. I think in year one, they went from, 22 wins to 41 wins? Yeah, I think year one was a success with Dylan Brooks and Fred VanVleet.
Yes, very successful.
So. It's less about points per game, although Fred really came on, and I think it's more about how do you approach the game of basketball, off the court and on the court. And I don't know. I mean, we're not close enough to truly know, but the results are there in the win-loss column. And I think it was good. Now, you know, you're done with Fred VanVleet after 2 years if you want. So that heavy price tag that he's got, he's an extension of Ime Udoka. There's no question. The way they listen to him on the bench, I mean, they focus. They pay attention to what Fred VanVleet says. So if it were a full 3-year deal, that was a little much, but the Rockets have the option. I think it's a mutual option or maybe team, but the Rockets can get out of Fred VanVleet after next year if they want. And I think they're going to have to because of the contracts they're going to have to give out. But Fred VanVleet was a very important part. And I think Dylan Brooks, it goes without saying, Dylan Brooks taking up for teammates, things like that. The Rockets have some edge. And there's nothing wrong with playing edge as long as you don't, you know, let it turn into Dylan Brooks in Memphis or Draymond Green always.
Mm-hmm. Between him
or Rodman, too. You know, Rodman got to where it was worked against him.
Between Dylan Brooks and Amen Thompson and Fred, you know, your perimeter defense is so much better than it has been. You got to work it out with what's going to happen with Alpi. You got to work out what's going to happen with Jalen. Jalen needed 41 points yesterday to reach 20 points per game this season. He's a 19-point game guy. He's either a 35 or an 11 points per game guy. And something's he's got to get he but he's remarkably consistently inconsistent. You look at it like he'll have a 12 game run of averaging 14 points, and then he'll have a 6-game run of 35, and then he'll have an 11-game run of 14 points, and another 7-game run of 35. There are some things that just kick in for him at certain times that are incredible, but then the other times you can't be this inconsistent. You can't be. It'll be an interesting offseason if we see what the Rockets do. I don't know that much has changed. If they wanted to trade him at midseason, I know that he went on that run, But then he finished, and then he went into a lull again. And you're wondering, well, where'd that guy go that was so good? At the end of the season, he was just average again.
Yeah, it's really going to be interesting to see what Ime Udoka on his exit interview, you know, how that goes with the players. He probably won't share a lot of that with us, if anything. But right now you got Ime Udoka and his staff and for sure Rafael Stone and maybe management, you know, ownership. Maybe the Fertittas also are going to be involved in this. I don't know. But they've got to really say, okay, this is where we stand right now. It's a good conversation to have, too. All right, this is where we stand. We got better as a team defensively. We're not where we need to be. But we're headed in the right direction. I think we're a much tougher team than we used to be. The accountability's gotten better, but it's still something we're working on. This player, you know, sometime will slip off, and that's something that this guy's a better leader than we expected. All this stuff needs to take place. This guy, you know, we think Jabari Smith moving forward is going to be this. Amen Thompson's moving faster than we ever thought. We think Amen Thompson, you know, how do we want to play him in years in the future? And then the two biggest question marks are going to be, what do you do with Jalen this offseason? And how do you view Cam Whitmore? Whitmore was sensational here at the end of the last couple games. Just sensational. He's got a lot of attitude. I think he's going to be a villain with a lot of teams, the way he operates. I think he's going to be a handful for the Rockets, too. I really, if I had to make a prediction, I think that Cam Whitmore is going to be, he's not going to be like Amen Thompson and Jabari Smith. He's going to be a big handful because I think what makes him kind of special on the court, that competitiveness, but also that he's got a little bit of prick in him. I think that's gonna potentially be an issue for the team from time to time. So we'll see if it's manageable or not. But man, he can play ball now.
Yeah, he can.
Cam Whitmore can play basketball.
He really.
Where he fits in the future is going to be really interesting.
All right, we're going to break it. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? That's coming up next right here. What did you learn? You learned something. It doesn't have to be about sports. It could be about anything. What did you learn this weekend? You have one sentence to tell us. 713-780-3776. As soon as somebody gets off, you can get in. 713-780-3776. We got two lines open right now. You got Zadok Jewelers to talk about.
And I love talking about Zadok Jewelers. I love talking about their luxury watches. Their lifestyle watches is what they call them. And Zadok Jewelers, they've been here in Houston for over four decades. They're a very trusted name, and they're the best in Houston. People come from around the state of Texas to come get their exclusive timepieces. People who are into the watch game love Zadok Jewelers because Zadok has exclusive watches you can't get anywhere else. They're a boutique watch carrier for many of the biggest names in there. They've got entire carve-outs. You've got to see it to really understand how amazing this is. I learned so much just from walking around with the family and talking about the watches and the amount of timepieces. I was blown away at the designs, at the technology, the craftsmanship that went into it, and also behind the scenes in terms of timepiece repair. They are certified from just about, I believe, every single major brand. So you can bring them in there and take advantage of that ability for them to get that fixed. But their in-house service department has seven master watchmakers, and they are working with a repair team that makes it a breeze to get that done. But when you're looking for the very, very best watches, without question, 1801 Post Oak Boulevard, it's Zadok.com.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, time for what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? So I'll start. Okay, I got a source that told me that Connor McCaffrey, Fran McCaffrey's son, who played at Iowa, who's Fran McCaffrey's the head coach at Iowa, Connor McCaffrey, who's Caitlin Clark's boyfriend, took a job with the Indiana Pacers. which means that more than likely the Indiana WNBA, the Lynx or Sparks or whatever they're called,
Fever,
is probably going to, I'm going to put it out there. I think they're going to take Caitlin Clark.
Wow, this is huge if true.
Yeah.
This is huge news if true. If the Indianapolis Bullets are going to.
The Fever, he says. Fever, okay. Well, no one knows, but okay.
That's huge I know. True. Huge news
you
if
say
true.
No one knows. I know. I just told you.
Yeah.
I learned.
So, how about that inside information I gave you?
It's not great.
I learned that the UFC 300 card went as long as any card I've ever seen in combat sports. And that was with a first-round knockout with the last fight.
Okay. That was your one sentence. That was long. It was a long, but man, oh, man.
It was good.
Max Holloway? Holy crap. That punch? Wow. And that's against Gaethje.
It was a pretty good scrap the whole fight, although Max just clearly outboxed him. But, man, when he called him to the middle of the ring for the last 10 seconds, and Gaethje's not going to say no.
No, right.
Even though Gaethje had his nose broken by a reverse kick. Like, Gaethje was in bad shape after he got his nose broken. But, man, he's going to go in there and bang. And he went out on the sword, too, with that right hook with 1 second left.
Yep.
Bang!
We gotta go. All right, let's go. What did you learn this week in one sentence? Justin is here. Hey, Justin.
I learned that Juju Schuster decided to follow in the steps of his fellow ex-Steelers receiver and show his genitals to the world.
I understand what all he said.
Did you understand any of that?
I get the gist of it. Apparently, Juju Smith-Schuster showed his stuff on the internet.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, I don't know if
it's a Drake move.
I don't know if it's a leak or he did it on purpose. I don't know. I didn't investigate, oddly enough.
Proud of the guys, huh? Good.
Yeah, apparently.
That's...
Who's next? It's going to be Ryan. What'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I learned that if you roll out two actual starters and have some offense, you might win a couple baseball games.
How about that?
Go Stros.
Yep. That's two sentences. Go Stros was another sentence. One sentence, you got Pena. What'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Hey, I learned that no one will ever accept to join Max Holloway in the middle of that ring ever again.
Yeah. That invitation is not, I do not want to accept that invitation.
Well, he doesn't stop. Like, he doesn't have the most power, but after five rounds, and then he never stops throwing.
Man.
That was for the BMF title. You know that, right?
He's what?
The BMF title. That's what that was. Bad mother.
Oh, yeah.
BMF title.
I tell you what, he
was. That was a BMF move.
He was. Ocho, what'd you... No, it's... who was that? Who was next? It was Ocho. Ocho, what'd you learn this week in one sentence?
Yeah, I learned that of the four sports Jackie Robinson played at UCLA, baseball was his least successful.
Really? Wow. Kind of a Jim Brown kind of thing. Right? I mean, Jackie Robinson was a hell of an athlete. You just learned that Jackie Robinson was a hell of an athlete. Lou, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned this weekend that my wife did not appreciate being called the C word during Whoopi.
Who uses that word? Who uses that word during Whoopi? What is this? The newlywed game?
Who says
Whoopi?
Well, he's been watching too much Pornhub. I'm sure in some movie that someone got called that, he tried to transfer it onto his life.
Yeah, dude, that ain't
that's
good.
Not
dirty.
Very loving.
Sorry, dude. That's not
what
good.
Are you Australian?
That's not good. Dirty talk, Jim Jeffries.
What are you? Mito.
Hey. I learned don't eat crab cakes from Baltimore and jump on a plane. My stomach goes a roller coaster for 3 hours back to Houston.
Ooh. Oh, stomach. He said he had Baltimore crab cakes, got on a plane.
And that's ugly. Wow. Don't do that again.
I've had Baltimore crab. They're good. Maryland crab cakes are good. I didn't have to get on a flight afterwards. I don't know.
Matt, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Man, I learned Max is a gangster. He pointed at the center ring, gave him a two-piece special of biscuit.
He did catch a biscuit, too. Max, they're talking about Max Holloway. If you haven't seen him and Justin Gaethje in the BMF title,
I don't know
title,
how you missed it.
You can just put it on Twitter and you'll just see the last 10 seconds. What you didn't see is his calf is chewed up because of the front kicks he was taking the whole fight. Those are bad dudes in the middle of that ring right there, throwing a one of them one-on-one. They'll probably fight again.
Wow. I don't know if I would gauge you if I'm getting in the ring with him again. David, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned that Utah now has its second professional team.
Utah has its second
Yep, the Coyotes are moving to Utah.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Phoenix is going there. I thought we were going to get them. I guess Tillman's going to have to get an expansion team. Tillman said he wants to get one. We'll see. We'll see. It would sure would be nice, but I'd much rather have a team that's established already. Those seem to be the ones that work out best.
The Vegas Knights weren't established.
No, that's true.
And they found a way pretty
quickly. Boy, they did it in a hurry.
Yep.
Woods, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Man, I learned that the Texans have probably sacrificed the Astros to the sports Illuminati in order to win a championship this year.
I hope that's not the case. Hey, let us live with our two-game win streak, okay?
Yeah.
Let us be happy with two in a row.
Kick the Rangers' ass this weekend.
Won a series.
Thrilled about
won
our
a series,
team.
Ladies and gentlemen.
La raza, ¿qué pasó, mijo?
El Juanito y Lance Z.
Delvin Chico. Gentlemen, good morning. Para tres.
Bye. Balloon.
Gentlemen, if I'm ever in Asia, I'm going to have to use my dong for currency.
That's what you learned this week.
That's what he learned this. He learned it last Friday.
You are going to have to learn to use that.
No, not your dong. Your currency will be dong.
Only in Vietnam.
Vietnam.
You can't just use that everywhere in Asia as currency.
Right.
Dong is their currency. It's called dong.
Yes, in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. Vietnam.
He just can't travel around Asia using dong as currency.
Do you
currency.
Know,
how
it,
much? But
I
how
think
much?
Brazil, what is it? Brazil is cook. Is cook. Like, not C-U-C-K, cuck, but it's cook. Like C-U-C, I think that's in Brazil. So there's cucks, and there's dongs, and there's all kinds of stuff going on in the world.
How much dong can you take?
You mean to Vietnam?
Yeah.
As much you can carry, I think.
Unlimited?
Ben, what'd you learn? Oh, Ben left. Tom, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Morning, gentlemen. I learned that there are some guys out there that think a good way to try to win your ex-girlfriend back is to volunteer the names of all the women you slept with since they've broken up.
Tom just plays in a different league.
Yeah, he does. That's
Tom probably
that's,
shouldn't.
That's dirty pool.
It's dirty pool, but still, Tom doesn't play by your rules.
No.
He doesn't play by my rules. The streets have Tom. Tom is from the streets.
Tom is out there
Tom
playing.
Tom belongs to the streets.
Tom
okay?
is out there playing, okay? Tom ain't fooling around. He's playing. Mark, finish this up strong. What'd you learn this week in one sentence?
I learned that pimento cheese sandwich at the Masters is on par.
See? How about that?
On par.
It's
well
on fire. It's the greatest sandwich ever. Did you guys get... You know, Damaris, I learned this weekend, too, that Damaris had a pimento cheese chopped beef sandwich.
Ooh, that's delicious.
Yeah, yeah. It was really good.
I've had a grilled pimento cheese with bacon, and it's the biggest fire
fantastic.
You'd ever... Yeah,
fantastic.
It's not even...
No, pimento cheese is highly...
Sourdough bread is... Forget about it.
Pimento cheese is highly, highly underrated. We need more pimento cheese in our life. We learned that for sure. Nice job once again. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Y'all did a great job.
I learned Joey Loperfido
needs
to come up.
That is something that we could talk 10 about.
10 home runs in 13 games. We'll talk about our first baseman of the future.
Next right here on ESPN 97.5.
Joey! Hey! Don't tell me that we can't do some Italian stuff with Joey Loperfido unless he's Latin.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll fool you with the Latin American thing.
No, we ain't doing that. He's going to be Joey Loperfido. There's no question he's going to be.
He looks like a working man's first baseman, too.
What about Doc Manavis? Okay. She's a working woman in this city, and she's eliminating enlarged prostates in the best process that you can have with an IV. I mean, the process before was was that you were going to get surgery. They were going, oh my God, you don't even want to. They were going to put a blade in you and then open it up and cut your prostate. What it is now is just, and that you don't like where they're going to put it up there either. You just don't like it, I'm telling you. What it is now is just an IV. So it's in, you put the IV in the groin area. That's the extent of the pain. And you sit there for about 45 minutes, and then you don't have an enlarged prostate anymore. You're not getting up in the middle of the night. You're not peeing. Start. You can start and you can stop. It's dangerous to have an enlarged prostate. So if you do have one, you need Doc Manavese. Oh, by the way, if you've got vein issues as well, she's there for you too. If you're looking for a great way, the only way to get out of this enlarged prostate thing, or get your veins opened up again. 975prostate.com, 975prostate.com.
ESPN 97.5.